place. Been looking at disobedient to parents, the last part of verse 30. We've approached that not so much emphasizing the disobedience as an attack on parental authority. And in a reprobate society, parental authority is all but removed in our day. And children are taught by example of parents and society that parental authority is no longer necessary. Parent and children are viewed as equals, and children are given, of course, disastrous leeway. But the Bible teaches, Proverbs 22, verse 6, that children must be trained. They must be trained. And that's not an occasional work. It's not a sporadic work. But it is a consistent work. We read in Proverbs 29:15, a child left to themselves bringeth his mother to shame. And children in the society in which we live have been left to themselves. We saw last week that when God commands parents to discipline, which is training their children, he's telling them to do what he does with his own children. And we looked at Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. We see there that God disciplines his children because he loves them. He does so for the purpose of correction. And there are degrees of administering discipline. He speaks of correcting and scourging. He also does this to bring them to repentance or to bring about change in their spirit, in their attitude. And all of this is for their welfare and for their benefit. And the Lord, of course, is our example. And we're speaking right now more on corrective discipline, corporate discipline, that is bodily punishment. And again, God is our example. We see that his discipline is wise, of course, always is. His discipline is loving. Notice in Psalm 89, verse 30, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod. God has a rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, even though there's the rod and the stripes, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. And again, God is our example. God has a rod, and this speaks of, again, corporal punishment, bodily punishment. And this is seen all through the book of Proverbs. Notice in Proverbs 13. Now, many times when people in a reprobate society read these verses, they immediately jump to the extremes and therefore discard it all. We can't do that. There are extremes, of course, where it becomes child abuse. We realize that. But that's not what is to dictate you and I disciplining children. In Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth would be to omit or to withhold his rod hateth his son. People today will say, well, I love my children too much to spank them. No, you don't. That's not what it's about at all. The Bible says you hate them. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or early, before it's too late. You start disciplining your children when they're 15, 16, you've waited too long. You've waited way too long. You need to start as soon as they're born, disciplining, training the children. Not saying you should use the rod on a newborn, but there is training. You are to train them around your schedule, not vice versa. And he that spareth his rod, God has a rod. He uses that rod. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But notice what it says in the book of Micah chapter 6. Book of Micah chapter 6. And verse 9. Micah 6, verse 9. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. And then notice what it says. Hear ye the rod. It would be wise for God's people to hear the rod of God. The rod is to provide instruction. And so it is with when it comes to disciplining a child. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Listen to the correction administered by the rod. That's true of God's people. That would be wise of children that are under parental authority. By hearing the rod, you may spare yourself from having to experience it again. In Proverbs again, if we go back there, so we see verse 24 of Proverbs 13. But he that loveth him chasteneth him. The Lord said that in Hebrews 12, and he repeated again in Revelation 3, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, implying that there comes a time when it's too late. Chasten thy son while there is hope. I don't believe you can begin too early, but you certainly can begin too late. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Children will use their crying as a tool, and parents many times are foolish enough to fall for it. They'll start crying before you even spank them. And then many parents and their foolishness won't spank them because, oh, they're brokenhearted. No, they're not. Well, they might be, but more than likely they're playing you and you fall for it. And they learn to turn on the tears. Spare not for their crying. Again, all of this is within common sense. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That is a lesson that all need to grasp. Foolishness is bound. Where? In the heart of a child. So what's the object in disciplining a child? The heart. The heart. You're not just out to inflict bodily pain. You're after the heart. Because that's where foolishness is bound. And we have to realize that there is a difference between foolishness and childishness. Big difference. You expect a child to act like a child. And you don't rob your child of their childhood. You expect childishness. You don't expect a child to act like an adult. You expect childishness. You don't correct childishness. You don't administer corporal behavior for childishness. But you do for foolishness. Foolishness here speaks of that which is wrong. That which is wrong. And this is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction. Notice it doesn't just say, but the rod shall drive it far from him. He makes sure he mentions the purpose of the rod. The purpose of the rod is to correct. To instruct, to train. It's not just a means for the parent to release their frustration upon their children. It is a rod of correction, rod of correction. And again, the goal is the heart. Most of us, of course, if not all, we're well beyond child-rearing years. But we're talking about what's so common in a reprobate society. And again, the goal is the heart. You spank a child, and that child stomps their feet and walks away and pouts. You better stop that because their heart's not right. The goal is the heart. More discipline needs to be administered because they have to. You can't allow them to pout and to stomp their feet and walk away. That's disrespect. That's a disrespect of authority. They haven't gotten the message. So that needs to be corrected. That's how you get for the heart. A submissive heart. They receive punishment and they do so with a submissive spirit. That's where you want to get. Again, we're not talking about abuse. In Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child. Now, correction can be verbally. That's Very true, you can sit down and talk to a child, but that's not what this is talking about. Because it goes on to say, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him, just simply the infliction of bodily pain, with the rod, he shall not die. Well, what about the people that kill their children? That's not what we're talking about. That's an entirely different subject. You don't not discipline your children because some maniac abused his. That's not your pattern. That's not your authority. So you withhold not correction from the child. Again, the purpose of the rod is to correct. The purpose of the rod is not to destroy. That's not the purpose. Just like when God uses his rod on us, it's not to destroy us, but to spare us destruction. And so it is with disciplining of children. The purpose is not to destroy that child. The purpose is to prevent destruction in that child's life and to teach them what's right. For if thou beatest him with the rod, there it is again, he shall not die. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Notice again the rod and reproof. Correction. The rod and reproof. The two go together. And we see, if you keep a mark there in Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And verse 12. That thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be... I've got a wrong verse there. Verse 12. I'm reading the wrong verse. Said it right. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest. Chastenest and teachest out of thy law. And now we have here in Proverbs 29:15 the rod and reproof. But a child left to himself, in the context, that would be a child without correction. It would be a child without restraint. A child without boundaries will bring his mother to shame. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. All of that instruction is not out of date. The common thing today, and in a reprobate society, is rather than punish a child for disobedience, we will instead bribe them if they will do good. Well, that sends a terrible message. It explains much of what we deal with today. In a reprobate society, the message that you send by that is reward, reward. And people expect to be rewarded for doing what they should have done anyway. You don't bribe a child that if they behave, now Johnny, we're going into the store, if you behave, mommy will buy you a candy bar. Really? You've bribed them. You've bribed them. And it sends a terrible message. And that's the way of the world today. You see parents pleading with their children to behave. I mean, they're begging them. Oh, please, would you just please behave? Well, they need a different message. One that will get through. But we must remember the ways of the world are not our pattern. In a reprobate society, we must not get caught in the world's traps of child rearing. And we must realize that the world is not the authority. God is the authority. And God has already told us how it is to be done. So parental authority must be established at birth. It has to be established. I'm in charge. You're not. And it has to be maintained through the child rearing years. And that authority is to be exercised with unconditional love. Always. It is to be exercised with compassion. It is to be exercised with sensitivity toward the child. Parents must be more concerned with the emphasis of attitude and character. Again, it gets back to the heart. Than they are about performance. Athletic skill, external beauty. The emphasis is in the wrong spot in a reprobate society. Oh, my son, he's so great at baseball. Yeah, but what's his attitude? What's his character? That's far more important. And also, it is God's design for parents to correct. It is God's design for children to obey their parents. That's God's design. Of course, you enter all the dysfunction that is the result of a reprobate society. And all these things get muddied. And you have problems that you never had before. You have children living with two different parents at different times, two different sets of rules, and many times the children are used as pawns. Well, mom tells you to do this, I'll do just the opposite. Dad tells you to do this, I'll just do the, you do the opposite. You got to listen to me. You're under my authority now. The water is getting muddied because of sin. And it's sad. But again, in a reprobate society, the family, for a long, long time, has been under satanic assault. And when that family unit falls, society falls with it. And today, when people use the word family, it doesn't mean the same thing that it did when I was a child. It's not the same thing. I didn't have three dads, three moms. I had one. And again, everything gets muddied in a reprobate society. But God's order remains the same. So in the end, you know, society puts the emphasis upon things. But after you've raised your children, I'm going to tell you something. It does not matter one iota what kind of car you drove. It does not matter how big a house you lived in. None of that matters. What does matter is, has that child been taught character where they can be a productive citizen, a productive adult? Or have they been taught that the world revolves around them? Nobody else matters. It's all about them. And then they raise their children, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And that is where we are today. So, if God's divine order for the home is blatantly rejected, dysfunction becomes the norm. And that's where we are today. And that's why, again, we read, being filled with or full of disobedience to parents, so much so that it is commonplace and it becomes an epidemic. And that's where we are, in a reprobate society. Next week we'll come to without understanding. Without understanding. Let's look to the Lord.